Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on this fourth Sunday in Advent. Just good to see everyone here. We've got a few visitors. That's great. Let's start our worship service with our invitation to worship, which is on the screen. How does a weary world rejoice? We sing songs of hope. We allow hope to change us, to strengthen us. We tell stories of what could be. We listen for God's word. We resist the temptation to give up or give in. We remember Mary's song. We gather for worship. We hope. We hope. It's all odds. We hope. Friends, this is the day that the Lord is still making. Let us worship Holy God. So at this time, would you please join me in our unison prayer? Loving God, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but your word stands forever. So today we pray, help us to truly hear it. Allow your words to sink deep into the marrow of our bones. Allow your words to lift our hope, that we might feel one day closer to your promised day. With hopeful and grateful hearts, we pray. Amen. At this time, we will have the lighting of our Advent wreath and the liturgy. How does a weary world practice love? Sending cards and picking up the phone. By practicing empathy and assuming the best in others. By learning people's stories and finding common ground. There are a million ways to practice love, so today we light the candle of love as a reminder and a charge.
With God's help, may we bring love into a weary world. Amen.
Good Christmas Eve day. Good to see you all. We're prayerful that those are out on the road are safe and getting where they're going today. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we just ask that you would continue to be with our people who are so much in need of your love and care. We know that all of us will probably face desperate situations sometimes in our lives, so teach us to run first to you, Jesus. And help us to encourage others to do the same. You don't promise us trouble-free lives, but you do promise to be with us to the end. So help us to grasp just how wide and long and high and deep that your love is for us. And let us return that love and worship you with all of our hearts. Amen. Join me in prayer, please. We know that every good and perfect gift comes to us from our Heavenly Father. And by giving back, whether it's our financial offerings we give or our prayers and praise, we just pray that God will multiply them so that they will accomplish more than we could ever ask or imagine. Amen. Now, you may be seated and please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. Mary said, "With all my heart I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next who honors him as God. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He has come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants forever." The word of God. Thanks be to God. As we continue with our Advent series, How Does a Weary World Rejoice? Today's answer is, we sing. We sing stories of hope. The movie Elf is one of my favorite Christmas movies. I know everybody's not on that train, but it is one of mine. And I was thinking about today's text. I couldn't help but think of Buddy's words. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is by singing loud for all to hear. The problem is Buddy's boss is a killjoy. He doesn't understand that singing can cultivate joy. I wonder, what is it that keeps you from singing in a weary world? Who's telling you, hey, there's no singing here? Maybe you have heard someone say, you know, there is just nothing to sing about. That you can't rejoice and sing when you are weary or living amidst a weary world. And yet, in today's text, what does Mary do? She sings. She sings loud and clear for all to hear. And Mary is singing despite the weariness of her own circumstances or the world in which she lives. It's not all butterflies and roses here. The young girl who sings the song in our gospel today had her life turned upside down. Peter Slofstra writes, her fiancé was thinking divorce, her family was thinking disown, her community was thinking stone, her situation could not have been more difficult. Now, I don't know about you, but given the precarious situation that Mary was in, I find it pretty remarkable that Mary believes she has anything to sing about at all, even finds the courage within herself to shout it out and sing. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for you, Mighty One, have done great things for me, and holy is your name. While it's true her spirit rejoices because of the honor God has shown, this blessing that she received is initially kind of a mixed bag of emotions. Emotions of apprehension and fear. Yet, despite all of this, what really strikes me in this song known as the Magnificat is given the situation in which Mary finds herself in this time and place, very little of this song is about herself. She is not singing the blues, and she is not singing a poor, poor, pitiful me country music song. In fact, after her initial statements that recognize that she has been blessed, for the most part, she's singing about the Christ child and the child that she is carrying, and she's singing about everyone else. If you'll notice, she places her song and reason for rejoicing not within the context of her situation or her people's current circumstances, but within the history of God's people and God's faithfulness. He shows mercy to everyone, from one generation to the next, who honors him as God. In other words, she's proclaiming that her pregnancy is a demonstration of God's love and mercy for all people. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? That amid the shock of her pregnancy, not to mention the way in which she conceives, Mary recognizes that the son she now carries is the fulfillment of all the hopes, all the dreams of God's people for a long-awaited Savior. God had promised that all nations would be blessed through Abraham, and now it's finally coming to fruition. It's happening. Can you imagine the excitement and joy that people had to feel after all these years of waiting, of finding and hearing that the Savior is going to come? You have to remember, Mary's living in a time of extreme economic hardship, political strife, and even servitude. And she would have known, she would have looked forward to, just much like her people, the Psalms and prophecies that carried the hopes and dreams of God's people being fulfilled. She knew the Scriptures. They knew that a child had been promised. So what she's singing about is God's faithfulness to all generations. How many of you know a faithful God? A God that has been faithful to all generations, not just yours, but way, way, way back in time, from the beginning of creation. You see, my friends, that's something to sing about. God is faithful to the fulfillment of his promises in all generations, even now. If you think about it, this song that Mary sings is a cultivator of joy amidst a weary world. She's proclaiming to God's people that the long-awaited Savior is coming and is now being cradled in her womb. And not only that, but this will be the one that's different from any other promise. This will be the child that will fill the hungry with good things, send the rich away empty-handed, pull the powerful down from their thrones, lift up the lowly, scatter those with arrogant thoughts and inclinations. Any of you about know anybody you'd like to see scattered? No, you're not going to admit to that, are you? But that's what she's proclaiming. She's proclaiming justice is going to come. Mary sings, God has come to the aid of his servant Israel. Remember his mercy, just as he promised to our ancestors. It's almost like she is the first to tentatively kind of realize that this child will bring mercy, salvation, and love to all people, but will also revolutionize the whole world order in a way that is quite unlike what her people are expecting. If you think about Jesus' ministry, he did nothing the people expected. He turned the whole world upside down. And it's like Mary, all of a sudden, she's beginning to get this. That this is a child isn't just going to come and be a savior. This child is going to upend the whole world. And so her lyrics not only proclaim the Savior's coming, but sets the stage for Jesus' ministry of liberation and of justice. So maybe you're here today, and you can relate to Mary's situation, not because you're young and you're pregnant, but maybe you are, but because you find yourself in a situation that is beyond your control. And that happens to all of us at some time. We're a people who like to control our world. I don't know about you, but I like my things in order. You know, I like to know where my things are, and I put them there because I want to know where my stuff's at. I know I'm a pastor, but I still have a control calendar. Now, sometimes I got to throw it out the window, but it's still there. I like to know what I'm doing today, tomorrow, and next week. I like things to be where they're supposed to be. And my suspicion is, y'all are kind of like that too. Y'all like to have your life under control. And perhaps instead of the joy, maybe it's not a control thing that you're supposed to feel or bring. Maybe you're just scraping by and you're wondering how you're going to buy presents for those you love when it's just now less than a day away. How am I going to do that? Or you're asking, how is it that I'm to pretend to be cheerful when I am so stressed, when I've gotten a diagnosis that's different from what I'd hoped, or I'm grieving the loss of a loved one? How am I supposed to sing and rejoice and cultivate joy with all that going on? How am I to rejoice and sing when stress rises and my hopes are fading faster than the sunset? How can I sing joy to the world when everything is crumbling around me? Know that you're not alone. Mary wasn't alone, and you are not alone. Mary had Elizabeth. You have your Elizabeth. And you have a whole world of people who are feeling what you are, if that's where you are today. Our world's been turned upside down, and while it's a different kind of problem than Mary may have experienced, we'll have to wonder, how on earth could she express joy in the middle of so much disruption? And even if you're on the other side of this equation, the truth is there's going to be days and times when you face the same. Anybody here want to admit that they've never had their hopes dashed, had a weary day, kind of sat back and said, an Eeyore kind of thing? I think most of us have been there at times. And so how do we cultivate Mary's joy within us and be those cultivators of joy in the world today? Because the world needs cultivators of joy. And as the Christian community, the world needs us to be those cultivators of joy, to sow those seeds. And in many respects, I think the answer is right here in the song. First and foremost, Mary believed that God would do what God promised to do. Keep in mind, Mary's people had been waiting a long time for the child that was growing in her womb. They'd been waiting for centuries, and they had nothing more than a promise that one day the Messiah would come. Some had given up on the hope of this promised child and lived as if this was just an empty promise despite the scriptures. You know, we deal with that kind of a little bit today. We all believe in a second coming. We know Christ will come again, but, you know, we've been waiting so long, some of us just don't even think about that anymore. Have we forgotten the promise that Christ will come again? You see, that's kind of what's going on here. But Mary had not forgotten the promise that a Savior would come. Mary believed in that promise. She trusted God, and she remained faithful even when the world seemed bleak and there was no external evidence that she would ever see the promised Savior fulfilled. She didn't know before the angel came to her that she was ever going to see that promise fulfilled. Mary also knew God as her Savior, not just her Savior, but the Savior of her people. And she knew and understood that through her people, all people, the entire world, would see salvation come. And as the world today, we have that opportunity to see salvation come. That's part of the Christmas story. And salvation comes to us every single day. Mary knew the God of the universe not only promised to save all of humanity through the Messiah, but that that same God was her Savior, knew her by name, cared for her, favored her, and loved her. And the same is true for every one of you. God knows your name, favors you, cares for you, and loves you. You see, despite the swirl around her, Mary recognized that in the midst of a weary world and all of its circumstances, God pays attention, that God was conscious of what was going on in her life. She knew God would act not only on her behalf, but on the behalf of all people everywhere. So Mary cradled the hope she had, knowing that the hope of the world was in God and the child she carried, not her circumstances or the world in which she lived. You see, sometimes we come to believe that our hope, our joy and peace and all that love and everything that we want is going to come through some external means, and we put all our hope in that. But Mary understood that all of her joy and the hope of the world was going to come through Jesus Christ, the Savior. And because of the hope in God that Mary cradled, she sang and she did not allow despair to overcome her. Consequently, Mary's joy, her reason to hope, to sing loud and clear for all to hear, was in the realization that what Israel had hoped for was happening and was going to come to fruition in her in just a few short months. It wasn't like they were going to wait another generation or two or three or 100. It was going to happen in a few months. Consequently, Mary's joy and a reason to hope, to sing loud and clear for all to hear, was because she understood and claimed and grasped onto the promises of God and God's faithfulness, the promise of all generations of the ages was about to be kept. And she was the carrier of it all. Think about that. Because I'm here to tell you today, you may not be pregnant, but you are pregnant with the hope of Christ. And you are the carrier of the joy of Christ for those in your midst. So how could she not sing for joy? I wonder, can we, like Mary, despite the world and circumstances of our lives and all of that around us, put our trust in God and sing a song like Mary, knowing that our Savior has come and is with us now? Can we sing a song that focuses not on us, but on what God has gifted us with and God's purposes for the world? Can we think of our lives as a song offering? A song offering to God, a song that offers other hope and joy and love and God's grace and faithfulness, mercy, and love. Can we do that? Can we sing like Mary? Can we live lives like Mary? Lives that cultivate joy in a broken world. Because in today's world, the benefactors of the promise of the Christ child named Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, that Mary carried, is us. We're the ones who cradle the hope and joy of the Christ child within us. And once we grasp this truth, that we belong to God as followers of Jesus Christ, our job is to, like Mary, magnify the Lord. In today's world, God still promises to be with us at every turn in the road, despite the external evidence we may or may not even see. We are the recipients of a Savior who is with us in this time of adversity and prosperity, and who knows our name and finds favor in us. And in that, we can rejoice and sing. And when we sing, all the world, all of those around us will rejoice. Rejoice. I know it's easy to lose sight of the mighty acts and gifts of God when we're weary and worn. And it's true, sometimes as God's people, we get so caught up in today's problems and busy focusing on the present circumstances that we too forget the promises and prophecies of the past, that I will be with you even now. We forget to look back during those times like Mary did and recall times that God has been with us in every generation, that God was faithful then and now. We forget to remember our own stories of faithfulness, of God's faithfulness toward us. Stories of prayers answered, God showing up in unexpected ways and moments, and remembering who and whose we are. Yet it is in those promises of God and stories that, like Mary, we will find reason to rejoice and sing. How has God touched your life? Remember that, and you will rejoice and sing. You see, we cultivate joy by knowing that God is always near, that God is with us, favors us, and loves us, and singing that loud and clear for all to hear. I hear so many people say, you know, well, I don't know how to tell somebody about Jesus. I don't know how to help them. Here's how you do that. I know a guy, and at the worst time in my life, when this was going on in my life, God showed up. And this is how God helped me. You don't have to have 7 steps. I know they say you do. You don't. All you have to do is have your own story of how Christ touched your life. All you have to do and say, you know, I was facing a really bad time, and here's how God answered a prayer. Mary said, look, God's been faithful in all these generations. And I know it's kind of sometimes difficult to recognize that God's at work during all the trouble that swirls around us, but maybe as Mary did, if we do that, we'll find that joy comes from seeing how God's work is so much bigger than the circumstances of our own lives. Mary tells us that joy is what happens when Christ breaks through our assumptions about God and invites us to walk with God in a weary world. Mary tells us when we walk with God in Christ, Jesus will make our lives a song of joy and hope. And I didn't say rainbows and butterflies. Instead of joy and hope. Now we will be cultivators of joy who sings Mary's song in a broken world, and those who, like Mary, are a beacon of hope and who point people to Christ. Folks, Mary was one lone pregnant teenager, but because of her humility and understanding of what God wanted her for the good of the whole world, she sang a song that changed the world. And so can we. And so can we. So as we go forth today, let us go forth being cultivators of joy and those who plant seeds of hope in the hearts of humankind.